Hello, everybody. Welcome to edition 175. Is that a landmark? Is that a landmark?
That's a landmark.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Welcome, everyone, to edition 175 of the NRF1 podcast, your Formula One podcast recorded right here in Norfolk, UK. It is still not wishing to give away secrets here, but it is still baking hot. We are brought to you by our proud partners, Grand Prix Racing Online. And you can sign up to the game by visiting gpro.net/NRF1 or nrf1.uk. Yeah, I may have changed those around. Yeah, deal with it. My name is sports journalist Michael Bailey. And in this podcast, we are going to preview the 2017 Azerbaijan Grand Prix. We will discuss whether Baku has a decent race in it. Has there been a Baxit since last year? Does that make sense? Did you get that pun? That was a bit of a sketchy one. And is this where Mercedes find their big gear? Joining me on the pod for tonight's F1 fun once again are Steve Rust and Melissa Rowland. Steve, Melissa, good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
That was Melissa second and Steve first, in case anyone was wondering. I hope we're both very well and suitably not really hot and humid. Before we get stuck in, our Canada review and Formula One latest news pods are available for you to listen to on your podcast player of choice. Just visit nrf1.uk/podsubscribe and you'll find the link you need. And if it's missing, let us know. Just email nrf1podcast@gmail.com and with my technical wizardry, I will sort it out, probably. Azerbaijan there. Azerbaijan. I had some messages ahead of this race, which I should probably read out, actually, from my fellow NRF1 and our fellow NRF1 podders. Let me have a look at these. I'll use my free pass. Oh, that's because Kyle had done a lot of commuting. He says he's looking forward to the race. Always got to give a layout a second chance, he says. Ped, I actually like the course. It looked great going through the old town. It was just a race. That was, of course, Baku last year. This year, Steve? This year?
I'm quite looking forward to it. I mean, I know last year wasn't the best of races, but it's the first race. And I think, like, it is a street circuit, but it's a street circuit with a bit of a difference. You know, it's just a bit more than just a street circuit race. You know, you've got, I think it's probably one of the fastest straights on the calendar now. Mm. You know, and there are overtaking opportunities, which traditionally, if Monaco is anything to go by for street circuits, that isn't the case. But I think it'll be better this year. I think we'll all come away and say that was a good race.
Oh, I like your optimism. We'll see if you predict that in the next podcast. I have actually taken to getting F1 2016 on my phone and trying to race the track. I was quite enjoying it. That straight is long, and the windy bit through the town is good fun. But yeah, I guess it does have elements of that. I mean, I was quite bored in places, but you know, I'm not a Formula One racer and I'm literally on my phone. So that's probably why I was bored. But yeah, we're hopeful that this could actually deliver then some sort of race, because I came into this pod being a little bit morose about it.
I think it's going to be a bit of a Julian Palmer moment. It's going to probably be make or break. If they're looking at other things to kind of add to the calendar, they've done a little bit of a rejig. But at the moment, yeah, I'm going to give it a fist pump emoji, you know, one of those right now. And say, yeah, I kind of agree with what Steve just said then. It is more than just a street race. Overtaking opportunities, long straight. Lewis Hamilton can think up some lyrics, do a little bit of beatboxing as he goes down the straight and God, stuff. Oh, yeah. No, I think it'll be...
Not if he's as busy as last time in his car, because time he's basically having to fix a thing for about 20 laps.
Yeah, no, that was an absolute... I think the only thing for him is he's going to be going into this race with a bit of confidence, I think, having on the back of the success of Canada. But, yeah, he needs a better race this time round.
He does. He'll have forgotten all about that. I mean, this feels like the last of the Bernie-era tracks. The last sort of big, let's get the balls out and go to Azerbaijan. They've got loads of money.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, it's kind of... It was another one of these races when people come out, they were like, really? You know, it's like, does anyone know anything about this country? No disrespect
Eurovision
to it.
Eurovision Song Contest. Azerbaijan. Yeah.
It's one more thing than I knew about the country.
There you go. And I thought, should we stick to that or should we just give this a go?
But yeah, I mean, being a Formula One fan and liking history, I would say, well, that's go back to some historic tracks like we're doing with Paul Ricard next year and stuff like that. But that's just me. I mean, perhaps we should be going to new stuff and visiting new countries. But I was one of them who just sort of thought, why? Really?
But then you liked it.
Fair point.
Well, it is a fair point. And likewise, it'll be about the crowds as well. It'll be about how popular and whether Formula One can really take hold in Azerbaijan, which again is an interesting point to see if it does actually do that. Got this great bit of the track, of course, where we go through the old town. And I think someone actually tried to predict that Pastor Maldonado would end up in that tower. I mean, it's such Ped, wasn't it? Almost certainly. That tower is... It's so beautiful. You just don't want a Formula One car smashing into it. It will be quite difficult for them to end up there. But, you know, never write it off as an impossibility. You never know. Who won the Azerbaijan Grand Prix last year?
Lesberg.
Well, he did, but it wasn't the Azerbaijan Grand Prix. It was a European Grand Prix. Yeah, yes, I've been a bit of a there. But it was that was a European Grand Prix last year, which, A, ridiculous in the first place, but at least we've got the Azerbaijan Grand Prix this year, so it's, you know, standing out on its own.
Technically, that's not really actually in Europe.
And indeed, wasn't that a major issue?
Am I going to be really thick, but what's Baku?
Is it the capital?
The capital city. Oh, right, okay, I didn't say that. Can you edit that out?
Well, okay. That's very... Steve, what do you think?
Nah.
Sorry, Melissa. But Baku looks like a lovely place.
Yeah, it's
maybe
fit.
Maybe you'll be there one day.
It's fit. Yeah, no. Oh, God.
What's going to be different then this year compared to last year?
Lewis is going to win.
End of.
He's going to get on the podium.
As the winner. You're straight in with the predictions, Melissa.
No, I'm not. So shut up now.
It's good, though. It's good. I mean, what I will touch, I will expand the Mercedes issue, though, because we are in this situation, aren't we, where we had a few interesting things in Canada. It all went so well for Mercedes. They spent a bit of time getting it all together. And Ferrari made a few mistakes and got a little bit probably off the rough end of the wedge as well. I don't think that's actually the right saying, but you know what I mean. They didn't really have much good luck. It feels like they've got something to prove this time around, but it also feels like I keep switching that every other race weekend between Mercedes and Ferrari.
It's a proper championship, isn't it? You know, it's probably nothing we've seen for about 10 years, I should think, where it's actually been between two teams and not two drivers in one team. But Vettel from the start in the previous race got Max Verstappen. His front wing sliced off. And that kind of dictated his race, and Kimi was just not really in it, basically. So who knows? I mean, maybe Mercedes have sorted it out. Maybe that was what we'll see from now on, Mercedes dictating.
Because it is a street circuit, as you said, but maybe if Red Bull themselves could get something together. But this is quite a power circuit, isn't it? I think they're going to be struggling again.
I think it's going to be silver arrows. Kind of pretty much theirs to lose, to be fair, unless something really kind of goes a bit wrong. I think that they're the ones we can only judge it really on what happened last year, to be honest with you, and who seemed to like perform really quite well. And it's quite funny because Valtteri, I think Bottas, I was doing a little bit of nerding up and having a little look, and if I can remember rightly, he in the Williams did the fastest down the straight or something. I think so. Maybe this might be Valtteri might do quite well in this race. I don't know, but as I know, I think Ferrari are definitely kind of in with a shout, but I do think it's going to be, for me, silver arrows. It'll be Mercedes to lose, I think, if they, up to them, I think.
Tricky one with Valtteri, isn't it? Because he had a tough one in Canada, and probably just because he was so far off Lewis's pace, and it was like, this is Lewis Hamilton at his peak.
You can't him too much, almost. I don't think Valtteri's ready this year. Don't think so yet. I think he'll get there, but they seem to be getting on so well because I don't think Lewis sees him as a threat just yet. But I think once he kind of like loses it and gets used to the car maybe a little bit more, just feels a little bit more comfortable in things. But at the moment, I think Valtteri will do well and will have a solid season. But I don't know, he's not. It's between Lewis and Seb. It's got to be.
He won't get a year though, will he? Well, Steve, if he's not good enough, that'll be that, surely.
Well, he's on a one-year contract, isn't it? So that's very much as I think they'll just review it at the end of the season, really. I hope he stays on, you know, because I wouldn't want to see another sort of number one driver come in, because I know it's obvious to say, but only one person can win the race, so you're going to obviously have the second person, you're going to want that for the constructors, so why have two number one drivers? It's always been my argument, but
yeah. And that's a good point. You're the first person I've actually heard who's going there should be a number one and a number two.
But that's, and in fairness to Callum Springall, our blogger and podder, there you go, lucky Callum, he'll be enjoying that. He wrote about it and he said, look, Ferrari's success is built off this idea of having a one and a two, and that actual hierarchy is what gives them the opportunity to be so successful, especially in Constructors' Championships.
That's interesting, isn't it? Because I wouldn't look at Red Bull and go that Danny Rick is higher, Ricciardo is more than Max, and I wouldn't look at Force India and go... Mm. I wouldn't, that's bizarre. But
neither would Force India, that was kind of a problem, really.
So I think, like, for Mercedes terms, I mean, whether you could sort of say, well, yeah, actually, I would say Nico would be a number one driver, actually, because, I mean, he fought him pretty hard for all, for those two or three seasons. But I think Mercedes got away with it in that those years because they weren't competing against anyone else. I think if that had been now, where they've got Ferrari right on their tail, the relationship between them two nearly brought the team into the ground.
Yeah.
Because they were trying to run two number one drives and say, well, look, it's between you two as to whether who wins it. And I don't think that would have brought the team down when they were trying to fight another team, because they didn't have anyone else, so they could get away with it. But that's why I've never agreed with it. It's one person can win a race, and you're going to want your other driver to come in at number two for the constructors. So you want what Ferrari does, which is number one driver and number two driver. End of, you know, as far as I'm concerned.
And it's a top quality point as well, Steve. And it'll be interesting how Kimi handles it as well in Baku. Why they kept him on for so long, year after year.
Maybe Kimi just doesn't feel he's got a point to prove anymore. Maybe he's happy for things just to be like that. I mean, he's...
He didn't look it on the podium at Monaco, did he? With a face like thunder, but there we go. As always, we like to ask the question, most important weekend for in Baku or Azerbaijan?
Azerbaijan.
What would you say, Melissa? Who is this the most important weekend for? You can have anyone, any driver, any team, any figurehead.
I think, I don't know. Maybe, in a kind of roundabout way, Bernie Ecclestone. Because, hey, Bernie, this was your idea. Make or break. Is this going to be good? Are we going to see it again? Probably. Is that a stupid thing to say? Steve's face is like, you win.
The dying legacy of Bernie Eccleston.
Yeah, it's just the thing. Is it going to be like absolutely amazing? Amazing. And it's going to be good for Baku and Azerbaijan, because people are going to be holidaying and going, look at that scenery. I need to get there.
Well, actually, it's a great point, because I think a lot of people looked at it last year and thought, well, this place looks gorgeous. Now, there are issues in Azerbaijan that other countries that consider themselves very worldly will pick up on, maybe in terms of... how's the best way of putting this without putting my foot in it? In terms of maybe political regimes or some issues in terms of freedom of speech. That said, I'd look at Britain at the moment and go, well, you know, for f- sake. But... I'm getting off a complete tangent that I don't really want to be on. But ultimately, people would have looked at Baku and gone, this is a beautiful place. Let's go there, Steve.
I thought that because, like, most of my holidays are capital cities.
Interesting Steve Rust fact there.
Yeah.
I liked it.
And I looked at that and thought, actually, that looks like a really nice place. There's something I couldn't have even named what the capital city was if somebody had asked me that.
Well, and I didn't know it.
You thought it was a bird.
Baku was a bird.
What kind of bird? Hang on, where did you
like
say
an
it?
Emu, probably, like an emu, probably.
Like an emu?
Yeah.
The Baku emu.
Steve.
Steve, anyway, yeah.
I was thinking emu as in, hang on, yeah, and I just reminded myself what one of those is.
Yeah.
Still listening to Formula One. Yeah.
Let's put a Baku bird in a Formula One car, see how far it goes. You know, if technology gets to the right point, even a Baku emu that doesn't exist could be driving a Formula One car remotely controlled by the engineers and winning Grand Prix, Steve. How do you feel then?
I'm sure in your world it can happen.
I think we've probably done, haven't we? Anyway, I think we're looking forward to the race. We're looking forward to the scenery, and we'll maybe see what the racing's like. If you do get the chance to race it on the Formula F1 2016 game, I hope you have a better go at it than me. I kept breaking the front wing, and I don't even think the damage was that turned up, so I was forgetting to turn left.
Did it tear your tyres up?
No, but I was from quite a basic mode. I don't know if it even does tyres. It probably does do tyres.
You wasn't turning left.
I forgot to turn left. Straight off down the express road. You know, get me out of here. Anyway, right, let's move on. Enjoy. If you have a go at the track, let us know how you get on. Also, I think we might be... exclusive NRF1 news, trying to sort out some sort of gaming evening in Norwich at a games cafe. That's what I'm trying to work on. So we can all have a race. We can maybe film it and see who really is the best driver, Kyle, because he was a carter. But that'd be fun, wouldn't it? We look forward to that. Yeah. You going to join us?
Yeah, definitely. I'm good on Mario Kart on the old Nintendo Switch, if I'm allowed to promote and plug that. I'm not too bad at it.
I'm now done. I thought you were going to say SNES.
I'm there for banter.
Okay. What's the SNES? Where does the SNES fit in all that?
What's the SNES?
Whoa, hang on, whoa. Super Nintendo Entertainment System.
SNES, yeah. SNES.
I don't know what the switch. What's the switch?
It's a new one.
Okay, right. Well, they can pay us some money and then we'll talk about that.
Okay.
Steve?
It's been a long, long time since I've done any gaming. But,
brilliant, yeah, you can come.
Yeah.
But do you know who I think will be quite good at that, who might be a bit of a dark horse? Rich. I reckon he would be quite good at that. I might be completely wrong.
What you're saying is he looks like someone who spends hours on a computer game.
I didn't say that.
He doesn't. Me and Rich are going to Silverstone with Kyle. Wait. It's going to be awesome. Can't wait for that. Anyway, that's to come. I think we're in a dark place there, but I think we're out of it now. Social media plugs, that's exactly what you want to hear now. Don't forget the handle at the NRF1 on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook. Get in touch, interact with us. We love hearing from you. And you'll have lots of chance to do that on the website as well, which is nrf1.uk. And you can email us, nrf1podcast@gmail.com. All of those ways you can get in your predictions. On its way is the prediction league update, sort of, with our predictions for Baku. So get in yours. All you need to do is tell us what they are before the start of FP1 and you can join in our prediction league. It's that straightforward. So please do it. But we'll be back with that podcast in a moment. Until then, we'll all say goodbye. Say goodbye, Melissa.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Steve.
Bye-bye.
I say goodbye, goodbye. Thanks to our proud partners, Grand Prix Racing Online, where you can sign up at gpro.net/NRF1. This has been the NRF1 podcast. We go bats over Baku with our big predictions shortly. Until then, goodbye.